who risk their lives daily to keep the rest of us safe. I'm asking you to please, next time you see a member of law enforcement, show some appreciation and thank them for their service. Now, let's start the show. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining Law Matters this morning. Our guest today, and we haven't heard from him in a while, is Hal Kumpfer, CEO of Global Risk Intelligence Planning. Semper Fi, my friend. How you doing?
Good, Sherry. Great to be on.
Give us an update. What's going on with Ukraine and this war we have going on? What's happening?
Well, there's a lot happening on the in Ukraine on the ground, but there's also a lot happening on the international front. On the ground, it's back and forth in Severodonetsk, which is this town in eastern Ukraine. It's in the Donbas. It's a key city for Russia to say that they have taken Luhansk Oblast, which is the province there. Their goal, their stated goal now, is to simply secure that Donbas region. They have scaled back dramatically. There has been talk that if they seize Donbas, they could potentially push the offensive onto Kyiv, but they just don't have the forces to do it. And the fact that they have put so many forces, just an overwhelming array of artillery, armor, everything they have, and have been able to make these, at best, incremental gains. And at times they got, a couple weeks ago, they're getting kicked back on a regular basis with counteroffensives. Tells you that Russia's got a huge problem. In the south, interestingly, the Ukrainians have actually made some pretty good gains, and have had some successful counteroffensives down in that area, particularly around Mykolaiv and going into the Kherson Oblast, which is just east of Odessa. And so they've actually been more successful in that area. But part of that is that Russia can't reinforce that area because they're putting everything they have up into the Donbas to basically take those two provinces. So that's kind of what's happening on the ground there. Of course, what made the news was that at least two Americans have been taken prisoner of war by Russia. That was the video and pictures of them just came out today that shows them. And there's a third American that might be a prisoner of war. We don't know. Interestingly, they were fighting with the Ukrainian army, and both of them had they're essentially foreign nationals. They're in the military. We do that too here in the U.S. We have foreign nationals that serve in our military, but Russia wants to call them mercenaries, as they did more recently with two Britons and a Moroccan citizen, and then claim as mercenaries. They have no status under the Geneva Convention under the international law of war. And, of course, as you saw in those cases, they had some sort of fake little court and condemned them to death. And so we're very concerned about what would happen to these American citizens. And with Russia's rather outrageous claims on this mercenary thing, we're concerned that they might try and do the same thing with them. So that's kind of what's happening on the ground.
Let me ask you, has anybody confirmed whether Putin is undergoing cancer treatments?
You know, that actually has been popping up a lot. There's another video that popped up this week where he was giving an official ceremony, and he gave a long speech. But when you look at him, his leg was shaking. Again, some telltale signs of what... Whoops, sorry about that. Sherry, that's me.
That's live radio.
I know. Apparently we got an alert here in Southern California. Sorry about that. telltale signs that he had, what looks like Parkinson's symptoms. And there's been ongoing reports that he is being treated for some sort of a cancer or something like that. Nothing has been hard confirmed other than some weeks back there were U.S. intelligence sources that basically were saying yeah, we think that he's being treated for cancer. But it was nothing official. It was just, it was off the record sort of stuff.
Okay, do you think if he died, that would put an end to the war in Ukraine? I mean, you know.
I'm not holding my breath on him dying. You know, I mean, based on what I've seen, most others are saying, look, he could be undergoing treatments and stuff and be around for 2 or 3 years. You know, no one's holding their breath on him passing away, at least by natural causes, anytime real soon. Unnatural causes, that's a great deal of speculation.
But, anything can happen.
Yeah, well, the concern is this, and most who've looked at this will say, if there was something that deposed him, the chances are you'd end up with another autocrat that would simply pop up and take his place.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah, and if another autocrat, and there's an entrenched faction. I don't think they have a lot of momentum, but there is an entrenched faction that wants to do a full mobilization of Russia and a full-on war with Ukraine and push that war beyond Ukraine. And we hear voices, I think this a few days ago out of the Duma, they were kind of talking about making threats to the Baltic states, which are NATO members.
Right.
And so that does pop up, even in a tightly controlled information space like they have. There's all sorts of stuff. You don't hear as much anti-Putin or anti-war Ukraine stuff. And one of the reasons why is because if it ever gets out, if they ever say it, they get arrested and put in prison or put in jail.
Right.
So that does tend to, the other side you hear more about publicly, the stuff that's anti-war in Ukraine or anti-Putin tends to get shut down very quickly.
What about the EU? I understand that Ukraine is on the fast track and they might announce something on June 23rd.
It's amazing how fast this has moved. Of course, Macron was one of the four heads of state that sat down with, to include Germany, was with that group, that sat down with Zelensky a couple days ago. And they did a number of things, not the least of which is they all nodded and said that they are for EU candidacy, which is the first step in being the consideration for becoming an EU member, European Union member. And then the head of the EU came out, and she expressed her full support of EU membership and this move towards candidacy with that. Not only Ukraine, but Moldova, which is interesting. That's that country next door.
Right.
That you may recall early in this thing, there was a map that Lukashenko and Belarus had shown of the big war plan. And it was a televised thing in front of his general staff. And in there, they had a big arrow going up from Odessa to invade Moldova.
And I remember that.
Yeah, we're all scratching our heads going, did he just show a map that shows Russia invading Moldova?
Kind of their plan? Oops.
Yeah. So Moldova has also said they want to become EU members, and they seem to have a lot of support on that. And as you may recall, there's a Russian regiment. There's a couple of battalions that the Russians maintain in an area called Transnistria of Moldova. So both of these, if they got EU membership at this stage, both of these are countries that have Russian troops on their soil, which is kind of an interesting situation. And, of course, the other one would be Georgia has Russian troops on its soil. And Russia and Georgia has been talked about at times of potentially becoming an EU member, potentially becoming a NATO member. Of course, the backstory on that is that it's over time, it's kind of become a pattern that if you become part of the European Union, that's almost a stepping stone towards moving towards NATO membership, which is the military alliance.
Well, all these people become EU members, what is that going to do to the war effort against Russia?
You will see some streamlining probably in terms of aid coming from across Europe. I got to tell you right now, that contact group that is working in Stuttgart, where they coordinate all the military and a lot of non-military aid, seems to be working pretty well. And that's a U.S., basically a U.S.-led thing, from what I can tell, where they've got all these different countries, not just NATO. You've got, and this is kind of significant, too, you've got New Zealand, Australia, Japan, and South Korea also providing aid into Ukraine. And I should point out that this week, during the NATO conference in Madrid, that those four nations from the Pacific actually showed up at the NATO conference, which has some of us scratching our heads about the future of NATO, which is, are they going to have to change the name? Because those of us who looked at the map couldn't help but notice that Japan, Australia, South Korea, and New Zealand do not in any way touch the North Atlantic. So if this thing was to expand, which has been speculated for years, whether there might become a larger global alliance of some sort, I can't rule anything out. Things have changed so fast in the last few months that we might see something next year that we never would have imagined. And so if they become part of the European Union, it would just streamline a lot of aid going in there. And, of course, right now, the concern, or at least the belief of a lot of countries, and I think it's a planning assumption, is that this war in some way, shape, or form could go on for years, not months.
And well, I hope that doesn't happen.
Oh, everyone does. But I think everyone's kind of girding themselves towards,
in case
big offensive operations may curtail quite a bit. But as far as a long-term lingering war, this could turn into something that just they can't completely get the Russians out, and the Russians will simply be there for a very long time. And so there'll be a de facto state of war for quite some time. And
do you think Putin would ever say, "I give up, you win"?
I don't think he can.
I
don't think politically he can. Well, if he turned around and said that, I'm not saying he'd be signing a death warrant, but politically, he'd be dead in the water. I don't think he has. I think many have said that he's taken a road with no way back.
Yeah, I think he's already signed his death warrant just by doing what he did.
Politically speaking, definitely. As far as, I don't think he's going to end up like, Ceausescu in Romania or something. But there was some talk that maybe there was the Ukrainian military actually came out and said there's a coup underway in Russia. But it was a coup that was moving really slow. They said it would take several months. And then, of course, if you're openly talking about a secret coup to overthrow Putin, well, yeah. So, but there was talk that he could be moved to some sort of, as they said, sanitarium, where he would be treated for his illness, and that might be a politically palatable way to move Putin out, is to say that, I think it would be to admit that he has a serious medical problem.
Well, sanitarium to me means he's got something screwed up in his head, which, seems pretty obvious.
That would be the inference. But in this one, it was a health implication, as far as, some place where he would go to, convalesce or whatever. And then he said, And if he ever reemerged from that, he would not reemerge into power. He'd be reemerged into some sort of, emeritus status or something at a dock or something. So, but
will they have an election?
That's all speculation.
Will they have an election if Putin's out of the picture? Will they have an actual election, or will somebody just muscle their way into office the way Putin did?
Well, elections in Russia have always been kind of an interesting thing. Kind of like the Soviet
True that.
I think they sit around and go, there's a Is it going to get reelected by 99% or 98%? How do we want to run this year? You know, and of course with Navalny being in prison, and that's another story where he was in prison and his lawyer went to visit him and they moved him to another prison without telling anybody. Which I find kind of interesting. That a little bit of twist there is, it might be that Putin is actually concerned that somebody might try to spring Navalny. It's just pure speculation, but it was interesting that, you know, moving him to a prison like that, there's usually a reason why you'd move him to a prison, another prison, a more secure prison, and why you do it in such an unannounced manner. And it could be that, you know, in the, you know, Byzantine sort of ways that Moscow and Russia operates, they were concerned that maybe somebody had some plot to use Navalny in some way, shape, or form. So he said, well, I'll just work that by moving him to another prison where they can't get a hold of him. That's just speculation. I have no proof of that or anything. It was just the question does come up, why would you move him? And why would you move him in that way? But with that, they might have an election, but I wouldn't put a whole lot of stock into it. So, yeah,
you're not going to bet on the election? Okay.
I'm not. Yeah. Yeah. It's, let's just put it this way. It won't be a nail-biter on election night. So, yeah.
What about there's an athlete they're holding, and I'm just trying to figure out what's their point of holding an athlete, the basketball player. I can't think of her name off the top of my head.
She actually, you bring it up, I can't remember her name either. But, yeah, she's being held. They said she had some sort of cannabis oil in her bag, which is possible. I don't know. But part of this is to get leverage. You know, they take hostages, essentially. They take Americans into some sort of custody on some charge or other. And not
the bargaining chips?
It's a bargaining chip, yeah. And what they do is they'll try and negotiate that bargaining chip for somebody they actually want back, which, you know, like a spy or something. And by the way, this is not unique to Russia. Autocratic regimes have done this all over the world, where Americans will visit their country, and the next thing you know, the Americans are in custody on some sort of trumped-up charge and being held. And in some cases, they actually go to court, and they get sentenced for, you know, some long, draconian sentence. And what they are is they're simply a bargaining chip down the line when somebody they want, either for political reasons or for national security reasons on their end, they want to get a spy released or something. They want the U.S. to trade somebody back over, so they'll hold them. And it looks like she may have fallen into this. You know, this is, I got to tell you, if any American is thinking about traveling to Russia right now,
you're nuts.
They need to rethink that really hard.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, for Russia, there's not a lot of due process. And, you know, there's really not much to get. Taking someone into custody and making up stuff is just far too easy for them to do. And the incentive for them doing it is just too great. It's just, it's dangerous. You know, so I would not travel to Russia.
Yeah, I'm not going anytime soon.
Okay.
I was watching the other day, they had the news on, and, you know, the big parade and those beautiful buildings in Moscow. I was like, really be a shame if all those beautiful buildings got flattened. crossed my mind.
Yeah. Well, I'm a Cold War veteran. All of that's crossed my mind at some point right now.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on and bringing us up to date. I know just in the last several hours, things have changed, and, you know, I try to keep on top of it, but I rely on you to do that.
Okay, well, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me on. And unfortunately, I think we're going to be probably talking about this for some time to come.
Yeah, I have a feeling.
Yeah, it's just it's not, you know, there was a period there where we were pretty happy when they pulled away from Kyiv and that northern area, but it is a slog fest now. And we'll just have to keep our eyes on it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you, Hal, and I appreciate you getting up early to talk with us.
Okay. Well, thanks, Sherry. And have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few.
Do you have security cameras on your home and live around the 400 block of West Ohio Street? On June 1st, 2021, a murder took place, and you just might have the information we need. To stay anonymous, upload your video to 88 Crime. ¿Tienes cámaras de seguridad en tu casa? ¿Y vives cerca de la cuadra 400 oeste de la calle Ohio? El 1 de junio de 2021 se registró un homicidio y es posible que usted tenga la información necesaria para resolver este caso. Para permanecer anónimo, sube su video a la página 88crime.org. We need your help. If you have information about the murder that took place in the area of 7600 East Toronto Street on July 1st, 2021, please notify 88 Crime. We will protect you while you protect your neighborhood. Necesitamos su ayuda. Si tienes información sobre el homicidio que tuvo lugar en la área de 7600 Este Toronto Street, que se registró el 1 de julio de 2021, llama al 88 Crime, 882-7463. Juntos podemos proteger nuestra comunidad. Were you in the area of the 4400 block of South 7th Avenue at 10 p.m. on July 23rd, 2021? If you have security cameras, you just might have a tip that will help solve the murder that took place there. To stay anonymous, use 88 Crime and upload your video. Si estabas o tienes cámaras de seguridad en la área de 4400 sur de la 7 Avenida a las 10 de la tarde, el 23 de julio de 2021, es posible que tengas información que resuelva el homicidio que tuvo lugar ahí. Para permanecer anónimo, use la página 88crime.org y suba su video. If you live in the area of 2500 East Menor and have security camera footage from November 30th, 2021, between 10 p.m. and 12 a.m., you might have information needed to solve a murder. Use 88 Crime to upload your videos and stay anonymous. Si usted vive en la área de 2500 Este de la Menor y tienes cámaras de seguridad del 30 de noviembre de 2021, entre las 10 de la tarde y 12 de la mañana, es posible que tengas información necesaria para resolver un homicidio. Visita la página 88crime.org para subir sus videos y permanecer anónimo.
Every Saturday morning at 8, Law Matters Live Show brings you law enforcement. On our next show, we talk with General Mick McGuire, former commander of the 162nd Fighter Wing, on current affairs and his vision for Arizona and our country's future. Hi, this is Sherry, asking you to support Law Matters by joining our 1030 challenge detailed on our website. We really need your support to keep the lines of communication open. Law Matters podcast can be found on iTunes, Google Play, and lawmatters1030.org. Thank you for staying with us. In the studio this morning, we have Gina and Phoenix. Gina is the director of Soul Survivor, Inc. And Phoenix is a survivor. And I appreciate you being here and being able to tell your story. But first, I want to start with Gina. Tell us about your organization and what got you into this.
Okay. Well, thank you for having us this morning. Soul Survivor, Inc., what we do is we remove or cover the branding tattoos or any scarring that is left behind on the survivors of sex trafficking. Currently, we are in 36 cities, so we expanded out, and it's just a great thing to have because a lot of these victims will go into a program and they offer medical, dental, counseling, food, shelter, but they do not offer this. So it's a good thing to have.
Explain to our listeners what the branding is about, because some of them who don't even believe sex trafficking has happened, right, don't understand that.
A trafficker's brand, for many reasons, most of it is a manipulation, a form of control, and ownership.
And when they brand somebody, you're talking tattoo or a hot iron? What are you talking about?
There's many ways, but the most common way is tattoos, yes.
And where do they tattoo people so that everybody knows that's their person? Anywhere?
Anywhere. I mean, we see We see them everywhere, on the back of their neck, on their arms, over their heart, their legs, their feet, their wrists.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. What? How do you recognize a tattoo like that?
You know what? For the most part, if it's not, what we see a lot of is unprofessional tattoos, and that's kind of a red flag. But we see a lot of money bags, crowns, names, faces, dates, hearts with money bags in them. We see like Yo Daddy. It's just, it's tattoos that the average person would not put on themselves.
Yeah, I wouldn't do any of that.
Yeah.
So what got you started in this? What made you think this is a good idea? I want to be a part of this.
Well, I'm a permanent makeup artist, and I've been doing that about 12, 13 years.
Oh.
And long story short, a new way of removing tattoos came about, and I was asked that would be a great stream of income, learn how to do it, so I did. And it wasn't, after too long of removing tattoos, I start seeing odd tattoos and weird odd men in my studio, and I had questioned that. And a friend of mine that's a psychologist said, oh, those are brandings. And I said, what? Yeah. I had no idea.
I'm sitting there shocked.
Yes. And so I start researching it and looking locally in Phoenix in the Arizona area of different organizations, and they're like, oh yeah, they get branded. And so I just opened the door and said, anyone that wants to come in, let me help you remove this. And people got word of it, and it grew and grew and grew. Then I became a nonprofit, and that's how Soul Survivor Inc. was birthed.
So, yeah, you're the founder.
I am.
And you've spread the word all over the place. Mm-hmm. Hats off to you.
Thank you.
Because I really appreciate that. Phoenix, tell us your story. Tell us what happened.
Well, I started being trafficked back in January of 2016, and it was a long road for a long time. But I had met Gina, I would say, 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And I was branded personally 18 times. And so...
By the same person?
Yes. And so I was definitely property for a very long time, but I've broken free of that. And Gina had a huge part of that with the whole cover-up process and the removal process. And it's been truly like healing and liberating knowing that a complete stranger actually cared, even when my trafficker had kept me so isolated and removed from family, friends, any sort of contact outside of him and the other women. So to have a wonderful, person that just has a servant's heart in regards to getting these tattoos taken care of, so that way we can continue to move forward in life and not look at our bodies and be like, oh, I'm just property.
A constant reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
18 times. What was the incentive behind that? Why would somebody say, oh, you need another tattoo, another brand? Was it always the same thing?
No, it varied from, like Gina was saying, like money signs, dollar signs, his name everywhere, his face. I even had his face tattooed on me. It was like a big 8x5 tattoo of his face on my leg. And that's actually the one that I met her with. And I was just crying because it was hard. I felt like he was watching everything that I was doing, even when I was trying to leave and like heal. And it was a lot. So I really appreciate the fact that this is possible, for women, because we're brainwashed,
You said you were with a bunch of other girls.
Mm-hmm.
What, living in the same house?
So he had 5 other girls. And some would come, some would go. So there'll be more, there'll be less over the years. But he had 5 other girls at the time when I first had met him. And all of us had gotten branded, No, within the first 3 months of me being with him, I was told to, okay, this is what you're getting. And everybody else was having tattoos done too. And so it was just like,
you're going along with the crowd.
Yeah. And then before you know it, like after so long and the control, the manipulation and the brainwashing, like he's wanting to drill it into you that you're his, and like you're his property.
Brainwashing.
Oh, yeah, 100%. And then too, when you think about it, these traffickers are making anywhere on one girl a month, me, 30,000 to 60K on average in a month. So in a year's time, that's $500,000 on average per person, right?
Yeah.
And so of course you're going to, not you, but the trafficker is going to, try to drill it into you that you belong to him because you're now his product.
Do you get any of that money? Do they allow you or do you?
Oh, not at all.
So they give you room and board, technically, and you're their slave.
They wouldn't even give you room and board, but yeah, yeah.
Wow.
You got money for food. You got money to go get your next outfit. You got money for, you know, certain things that you would need transactionally.
So they control that too.
And nothing else, like any of the other money, like it all went to him and what he had going on and his family. And, you know, and there was always a promise of like, oh, one day, like your family, like your kids will be taken care of. And this is, you know, like the whole lure. But really, it was just all for him, you know.
No BS.
Yeah.
Was the house like in a city environment? Were you in the country environment? Because this, you know.
Regular neighborhoods. So, regular regular neighborhoods. They were really nice houses. So he had a house in Vegas and also a house in California. And so for the past, 8 years, you know, being there, like there's normal neighbors. You know, right. Like just on a regular road, it's just.
And do
there.
The neighbors, you know, this is what boggles me in the Epstein case too. Do the neighbors question what's going on there? All they see are women and, you know, guys going in and out all day long.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. When you see intense looking men.
Okay.
With, you know, like they look like they're criminals, like guns, huge, 6'3", you know, swollen. Like neighbors aren't going to say anything if they're hearing like rap music, seeing the foreign cars, and you know, like they're not going to go and, you know, like they don't want any problems for their family, is what
right,
it is.
Right.
But girls are always in and out of the house, and nobody's ever said anything, ever.
So he would traffic you around. He would take you from one state to another state.
Yes, I've been trafficked out of every state but 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's called the circuit?
Well,
is that what they...
A formality, or the term for it is cross-country.
Okay.
So, yes, which is now a federal offense, you know, in regards to being
Arizona has some really... Mm-hmm. Intense, no leniency laws.
Yeah, I know.
On this, so you know, we're in the forefront of trying to get everybody else to do the same thing and put a stop to this. And thank you to Leo, one of our state representatives, for pushing it through.
Mm.
Yeah, he's pretty remarkable.
What's the problem that's so deep and wide?
It is.
It's so deep and wide,
and nobody wants to recognize it. There are so few people who go, "Oh yeah, it's a problem." And let's do something. A lot of people go, they don't see it, they don't acknowledge it. So, that's not happening.
Well, they don't understand that when they're at their child's ballet recital that the mom sitting next to them could be someone that's being trafficked.
Right.
When they're in the grocery store line, the lady next to her, she could be trafficked. And when people open their eyes and look at it that way, as opposed to a girl standing on a corner in a provocative, that's what they picture. Which
right.
could be, which is true, but this is also true, that they are just mingled in with everyday people.
Well, with the internet now, you don't have that many girls standing on the corner because they can be trafficked through the internet and they don't have to go out there and get sunburned. You know, it's a whole different environment. So you've got an app. Mm-hmm. Did you develop the app or... How did you discover this app?
You know what? With working with so many survivors over the years, a common thing that was always brought up is resources. You know, why didn't you leave? Or, you know, they always needed something. And just talking with them a couple years ago, they said if we had some way of getting a resource, because sometimes they're ready to leave or they need transportation or whatever it is, pregnancy screening or food or shelter, or whatever it is that they need, they have no idea where to go to get that.
Exactly.
So together with a few of the survivors a couple years ago, we start thinking about it and then we put it into action. And we just launched and we are in the first phase, which is enrolling organizations right now. And it is nationwide. And so at any time when someone needs a resource, they can pull up step.how, wherever they're at. It can be Phoenix, it can be Colorado, no matter where they're at. And there's categories of what they need and they can find somewhere within a 100-mile radius of where they're at.
So the app is called Step, mm-hmm. STEP,
correct.
Dot How, H-O-W.
It's called STEP, and that stands for Survivors Together Elevating People. The .how is just how you get to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if you go to that app mm-hmm. and download it on your phone, there's a feature on there I really, really like.
The quick exit.
Mm-hmm. Tell people about that.
So if a person is on the app and someone comes up behind them or they're in a dangerous situation, they can click quick exit and it'll automatically go to a different view.
A different view. Mm-hmm. So that if you are being in a situation like that, your exit plan is covered.
Exactly.
So does that take the app off the phone?
Well, it doesn't. It's not really a download because it's a web app. We did that on purpose. We didn't do an actual app because then it would be in
the
phone.
Phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so we also have instructions on how to delete history if people don't know how to do that. So it's more like a web app than it is a like mobile app, although you can get it on your mobile phone.
So if there's any organizations out there within hearing distance that want to be listed on this app as a resource for, you know, getting out of a really heinous situation, mm-hmm. they can contact you how?
They can go to step.how and sign up, organization sign up. It takes less than 2 minutes to sign up.
And describe what you're offering through that, or, you know, you just sign up. Do you contact these people to find out what their resources are?
Well, in signing up, they can put all that in there. But yes, we do contact them and talk to them and see what they're about. And honestly, to make sure they're legit.
I was going to say, yes. To vet them.
Because, yes, to vet them. Absolutely.
Yeah, because anybody could be saying, oh, I want that.
Correct. Once the app is filled, you know, with organizations, and we actually go to second, you know, it's phase two, which is distributing it. We want to make sure that everyone on there is legit. So the girls or the, you know, whoever's trying to look for a resource doesn't go back into something that they're trying to get out of.
And we're talking girls, but guys are also trafficked.
Yep.
And how often do you run into that, and do they get branded?
They do.
Okay.
We're working with a gentleman right now, a young man, 21. He's got eight brandings. For the most part, we see more females than we do males, but there are definitely males.
How come so many brands? I mean, you'd think one's enough.
It's an earned thing sometimes. They're so brainwashed to think, if I do this, this, and this, I get this. They're very brainwashed and manipulated, and it's favor. It's like as a favor.
Really? And if somebody comes at me with an ink needle, any kind of needle, I'm gone. So,
well, it's a breakdown process too. You know, when you're first trafficked, you have more of a mindset like you and I. And then if you're beaten down, you don't have the same mindset that you and I have.
Did any of the other girls get out that you know of?
So I know of one specific person who had gotten away. And for a while, though, like, I didn't know if she was alive, but I had found her, you know, this past, I would say, year. I was just looking online, like, searching, and I finally found her. I didn't contact her or anything, but I just was happy to know that she was alive and that she was away, because just one night, she just kind of disappeared, and it was scary, because you never know, you know, especially.
Was it like she snuck out, or did they take her out?
Oh, no.
Because that would scare me if somebody took her out.
Yeah, so our trafficker, like, he had beaten her, and she just kind of, like, they went for a drive. And I don't know, like, the other girls and I were, like, really concerned, you know, for her. I searched for her for 2 years, and I finally found her, and I was just like, okay, she's alive.
And she's out of the business? I call it a business, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, she has a dance studio now. She lives somewhere in California. And
good for her.
Yeah.
Good for her.
But her family lived close, so it was easier for her family to, you know, reconnect with her and have that restoration process. And she was much older as well. I mean, his girls varied from like 17 to what, 36? So she was older. For the average person that's, you know, in the industry. But yeah, she got away, which is really, really good, you know.
You said that he beat her. Mm-hmm. Do they provide medical care for these people? Do they take them to a hospital?
So you know? I personally have been beaten so many times over the years, countless times. Not once have they ever brought me to the hospital outside of when I had gotten pistol whipped on the track in LA. And he and my one of the other women drove me to a hotel to check it to see, but then he saw that, oh, this is serious, because whatever. And so we went to the hospital with the girl had taken me, and I had 31 staples in the back of my head. So that was the only time. Otherwise, he would leave you, whether you have a concussion or any of that, and you just had to, like, get in the shower, wash all the blood off, and chin That's up, normal. Buttercup, chin up. Yeah.
Okay, you said that a girl took you to the hospital?
So one of the other girls that he had... she was, you know, there. And so
were they worried about you guys squealing?
That's why he wouldn't take me, you know, like he wouldn't take me to the hospital,
right?
Because of, you know, that how that may look. So he always had somebody else do something when it comes to like picking us up from jails or picking us up from hospitals or, you know, whatever. But like the majority of the time she just like dropped me off, she wouldn't come in, you know, which is fine. It's just how it is, the culture, you know, and the fear that's there, because that's jail time, you know. If I were to just start quacking, and I remember the whole time I was sitting there and I was just saying like, this effing hurts, and they kept trying to ask me questions, but I was in so much pain. Yeah. And by the time it was all over with, like you know, she came and picked me back up. And I was back on the track in the next 2 days, and it's with staples in my head. It's crazy.
I was going to say
31 staples in her head.
And how did those staples come out of your head?
So this was crazy. I had those staples in my head for way too long. I was supposed to keep it in there for, I guess, a couple, like 6 weeks or something like that, 6 to 8 weeks or something. It's been a while. But yeah, and they stayed in my head for 4 months. And I was in so much pain, and they were itching, and I just like, I was crying, and I was just like, please, like, I just want to get these out, you know, because it was really uncomfortable having metal in your head, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, thankfully I got away, and that really like actually projected me into my healing journey and like being connected with healthy women. And Gina, like, I, you know, helped me like in regards to getting away from that and knowing that I'm still alive and having restoration in life.
Okay, do you want to talk about how you got away or not? I understand if you don't.
So it just kind of clicked in my head. I had a moment of clarity. I was in Washington, D.C., and him and the other girls had gone, they flew back to California, and he had me stay back because I was doing really well out there. So when he had done that, He could tell something was off. Like, he could tell that I wasn't like connecting or as, you know, like whatever with him, like I was shutting down. So he left his suitcase with me in the hotel room, and he's like, are you gonna make sure I get this back? And I was like, yeah, of course, just to whatever to get him out of the room. So when they're on their flight, I changed my number immediately. I turned off all my locations. I switched hotels. I brought his suitcase up to the front hotel staff desk so that there wasn't anything, like I ran off and stole from him. And yeah, I asked my mom for her blessing to come home, and she said, yeah. So I flew back to my home place, and she said, good luck on your new adventure. And so I was like, okay. So, you know, and then Gina just, I don't know. She was there for me when I didn't have anybody, and like helped me in regards to like keeping the mentality of like, okay, one step at a time. You know, sometimes you have to sit there. Sometimes you're crawling. Sometimes you're walking. Some days you're running. But like just having somebody, you know, like that actually cares.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. It's been so pivotal, you know.
Have you thought about writing a book?
I don't like sharing this. I am in the process.
Okay. Yeah. We won't tell anybody.
It's a secret.
No, I think it's important because, you know, people don't understand, and I'm sitting here learning myself, even though how many shows have we done on sex trafficking? Mm-hmm. And I'm learning from you. And, you know, I've only met one other person that was a victim, but it wasn't like what you're telling me. And it's horrific.
And this just touches the surface, the things that she's saying right now.
I it blows my mind. So how can people get a hold of you with your, okay, my question is, the ink thing, do you have other companies that do the same thing around the country?
We have affiliates.
Okay.
And so those are also vetted. And so we have affiliates, whether they're tattoo artists, estheticians, permanent makeup artists, you know, dermatology in that type of field. And so they're already trained, not through us, but they already have their own thing going on.
Okay.
And then they sign up with us and we have a contract. And so basically we become like a referral.
Okay.
When an organization calls in and says, we have a survivor, we ask them where they're located, and then we send them to an affiliate that's in, you know, the closest to their area.
Okay. What does it cost to remove a tattoo or a brand?
For the survivor, it's nothing. So we, you know, cover the cost of that. And for the affiliate, whether, like I said, they're an artist or a technician or a removal specialist, we give them a fee. It's not a lot, you know, but we pay for their ink and their needles, and it's more of a service.
Supplies.
To them. Yes, it's more of a, we ask them to donate their time and give back, and they do. And then we pay them a small fee, but enough to cover their cost at least. And we have some fantastic affiliates on our team.
If, okay, let's say some guy broke up with his girlfriend and he had a big, you know, name and a heart on his arm, what would it cost to cover up that?
Oh, something like that,
or
an average person?
Yeah.
It depends. That can be from, what, $200 to $500, even more.
Mm, okay.
And for removal, it starts at $150, you know, to $300. It depends. And then it can be session after session after session with removal.
Because so you can't do it all at once, can you?
The tattoo, you probably can, depending how big. But the removal, usually not, unless it's a small tattoo.
Ooh, okay, what's the difference between covering it up and removing it?
Well, covering up, you're actually taking, let's say it's a rose that's on your leg, and you're making it a vine with a cross or whatever. You're actually putting something over that, and you can't see that rose again. So you're covering up that tattoo that's on the person's body. So you don't see that original tattoo. You're seeing the one that they created.
So you can turn a rose into a
anything you
want. Chrysanthemum.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
In a removal, There's nothing left to see?
Correct. We are removing the ink from the skin.
That sounds painful.
It can be.
Yeah.
We numb them. You know, and the newer method that we've taken on over the last 2 years is a lot easier. But yeah, I mean, it's not painless, but it's not worse than getting a tattoo. So if you've been through the process of getting a tattoo, you can handle the removal.
18 times.
Yeah.
Are they all gone now?
I'm in the process. I'm halfway there.
Halfway
it's
there?
It's been a long process.
Wow.
But it's healing. You know, it's my letting go process and having closure in those things. So, like, I personally prefer the cover-ups because it's like a one and done, you know, whereas, like, the removal, like, it's a process too, but it's all a process. It's all healing. And
it all works together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I would probably be drinking.
I drink lots of coffee and water.
It's not what I was thinking.
But like Phoenix says, it's a whole process. So even getting there, sitting at the table or, you know, tattoo bed, it is literally this process because they've done this before, but in a different light. Actually, but dark, actually, it's
yeah.
Darkness. So, you know, hearing the machine go on, seeing the ink set up, I mean, it is literally a process of healing when they're getting these covered up or removed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I saw somebody once that had a tattoo inside their lip.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with that?
I've never removed one inside the lip.
That
I would think that eventually those would go away because our cells shed so much.
And if not, just draw some lines on it, cover it up.
Yep.
Re-tattoo it.
Re-tattoo
we have face tattoos. I mean, we've done face tattoos, but never mm-hmm. inside the mouth.
Mike Tyson should visit you.
I have actually reached out to him a few years ago, but I didn't get a reply. I would love to remove that from his face.
Yeah. Ooh.
Yeah.
But that's a part of him, I suppose. So, okay. What message do you have for girls who are listening to be proactive in maybe the signs that you missed that you now know about, what do you say?
Be available, you know, in regards to if you are out and about and you see that this girl looks dehydrated, she looks like she's in an unhealthy relationship, she looks like she's just surviving, you know, walk up to her. Hey, may I pray for you? You know, like get her attention, or hey, here's my phone number. Never hesitate to call me. You know, for when that girl does have that moment of clarity, she will remember, oh,
somebody
this person
tried to help me.
Yes. And I will never forget what Gina did for me as
okay,
a stranger.
Okay, how did you two meet?
So I had broken my foot and I had to sit in a program for a little bit because I couldn't work while I had a broken foot. And so I had like the 18 tattoos, and Gina was the removal lady that somebody introduced me to. And since then, she's just been that perfect stranger, you know, now more family over the years. But it was literally her kind heart. You know, when I was judged and ostracized by everybody, I remember that she never judged me, and it was always unconditional with her, and she never wanted something from me but to be happy and healthy.
Should I ask you how you broke your foot? No?
No.
Okay.
That's a different story for a different time.
All right. Enough said. So how can people get in touch with you, Gina?
They can either go to the website, which is Soul, S-O-U-L, Survivor, S-U-R-V-I-V-O-R.I-N-K, so soulsurvivor.inc. That's the best way because the STEP app is on that. And we always look for affiliates, volunteers, and obviously organizations to get on this app so we can go to phase two, which is distributing it to those that need it.
Now, do you have all the police department numbers on there? Are those outside of the what you put on your app?
We do have a category for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So we do have numbers, hotline, stuff like that on the app.
Okay. Is there... You should have the P3 on there, the P3 app. Yeah, take notes.
What's P3? Mm-hmm.
The P3. Crime Stoppers International. The P3 app, all you have to do is anonymously give them the information. They send it to the agency that can help you the most, and it's an international thing. It'll work in Mexico, it'll work in, you know, Canada, it'll work everywhere.
So you're saying that the user that has their phone that needs help, they can go to this and then they will find a resource?
They're not finding a resource. They're calling law enforcement. So
okay.
Check out the P3 app
and
see
I'll
if that's something that, you know, and I can introduce you to Jim Fuda, who,
okay,
and he's in, I think, Seattle. He's someplace up in the northeast or northwest. So, yeah, I think that's something that you guys could work together.
Me too. I mean, the app, this, as far as the resources, it goes as much as needing a shower. Sometimes they don't want to police. They don't want to flee. They're not ready for that. They just need a pregnancy test or food or a shower or shoes or socks, all the way to, I need to be rescued right now.
Yeah.
And so there's a variety of categories to help these people.
There are phases of this. You can take somebody out of the situation and they're not mentally there yet. You can't help them.
Totally.
They have to do it on their own. So
yeah,
I totally get that. And obviously we don't want people calling you, but I'm glad you're writing a book. But don't tell anybody.
She actually works with Soul Network. She does work with STEP.
Okay.
And she's helping enrolling organizations. She's become an advocate for a lot of the younger survivors that I see. I mean, they're what, 15, 16, 17. She has been that, almost like that mama to them. She's walked it. She understands it. And that's something I can't do. Yeah. I've never walked it. And so,
that's why
this girl
I'm
less
sitting
than
here.
Here, she's been out of the life. She has completely turned her life around.
That's awesome.
But yes, we don't want to give out her phone number.
Right. And her cell number.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I want to thank you both for being here today. You've educated me, and I'm sure the listeners are probably dropping their jaws as well. I want to thank Hal Kempfer for giving us our update on Ukraine and what's going on over there. And thank you, John, for putting our wanted ads on for the murder. If you listen to those ads, if you have a ringtone phone thing, check it out on those dates that we gave. You might have evidence that we can use. And until next week, I want everybody to shop local and stay safe. Every Saturday morning at 8, Law Matters Live Show brings you law enforcement. On our next show, we talk with General Mick McGuire, former commander.
KVOI Cortero, AM 1030, the voice of Tucson. Trusted local news and talk. A Bustos Media Station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It's a day many parents of young kids have.